DZUP Special Features.
Magandang umaga mga kasali. Ito ang DZUP Special Features. Ako po si Gian Lebrojo. Hatid namin sa programang ito ang mga recording ng mga academic event tulad ng lecture, forum, symposium, conference at workshop. Minsan, oras din ito para sa iba pang mga espesyal na pagpoprograma. Bilang bahagi ng ating nagpapatuloy na pagdidiskusyon sa State of the Nation Address o SONA, balikan nating muli ang ilan sa mga idinaos na pre-SONA forum na inorganisa ng mga sectoral group. Sa umagang ito, pakinggan po natin ang 2019 Mid-Year Bird Talk na inorganisa ng Ibon Foundation. Pakinggan natin.
Sa NCR, yung Joint Task Force NCR and the NCR Police Office, they signed naman yung Implan Kalasag 2019 to 2022 as response to Executive Order 70, which now seeks the cooperation of all government agencies to, quote, defeat threat groups and criminal elements, unquote. Implan Kalasag has also mandated the NCRPO to, quote, arrest and file cases against target personalities and organizations and, quote, monitor peace-inclined armed groups and implement a peace agreement, which you can read as rebels surrenderees in the urban areas with whom either military or police troops can initiate, quote, local peace talks. This surgical authoritarianism, no, hindi ano to eh, no, hindi naman ito targeted dun sa mga dati na nilang hinaharas o pinapatay, no. This is targeted sa atin. And that how ganon naging ka-surgical yung pag-increase ng authoritarian rule ng Duterte administration. Na maybe you can say beginning in the last quarter of 2018 kasi sunod-sunod yung mga memo na inisyo niya, eh, no? And this surgical authoritarianism has intensified military operations. Yung AFP and PNP, no, as implementation ay isinagawa niya yung tinatawag na Synchronized Enhanced Managing of Police Operations, SEMPO, or sa Region 7, it's known as OPLAN Sauron. It's purportedly as part of the government's campaign against illegal drugs and loose firearms, but OPLAN Sauron utilized the Tokhang style of killing. But this time, targeted suspected members of the New People's Army, which resulted in farmers' massacres in the island. Negros appears to be the pilot area for the systematic attack and the so-called whole-of-nation approach. All over the Philippines, 207 farmers have already been killed since the start of the Duterte administration. 73 of the killings occurred in Negros. 3 of the 15 peasant massacres nationwide happened in the island, claiming 29 out of the total of 81 precious farmers' lives. Yung ganitong authoritarianism, it has also resulted in the increased communist, terrorist, activist, terrorist, basta lahat ng ginagawa nyo, kakabitan ko lang yan ng terrorist, itatag ko lang yan, -terrorist, and that has been the propaganda in mass media, social media, in schools, in local governments, in urban centers, and rural communities. The Duterte regime has mounted vicious and violent attacks against the basic sectors, especially peasants, indigenous peoples, and workers, against women, youth, teachers, health workers, lawyers, church workers, and even human rights defenders. The military, led by Deputy Chief of Operations General Parlade and joined by the Presidential Communications Operations Office, maliciously vilified and named as communist fronts Karapatan, the Rural Missionaries of the Philippines, the School Alcadev, Mindanao Interfaith Service Foundation or MISFI, and Ibon Foundation. Unprecedented in our 40 years, as unprecedented as the weak job generation record of the Duterte administration. In fact, that slide, that infographic that Sunny showed, yun lang yung ginagamit nila para lade, pag-ikot para sabihin that we are a communist front. It is always safe. This is a word of advice. It is always safe to assume that organizations, our organizations, are under active surveillance by the military in the National Capital Region. So, please use wired mic. Hello? For active surveillance. Bakit? Di niyo naririnig? Sige. Kayo ba, yung organizations niyo ba, meron na kayong mga ano, mga friends sa harapan, ganyan? Mga fans? Okay. Now, worthy to mention, yung nangyayari sa teachers, health workers, and lawyers who are also being subjected to profiling by the police, by police intelligence. No? So, may ganun din na napaka-systematic. And another illustration of a growing dictatorial rule or erosion of democracy, depending on how we read how surgical things can be, is how the Court of Appeals dismissed the petitions for protections of writ of amparo and habeas data filed by despite clear evidence of systematic attacks against these organizations, including outright physical violence. So sabi ng Court of Appeals, no, you cannot present your witnesses. And as if on cue, the National Security Advisor Esperon instead filed perjury cases charges against Karapatan. So yun, isang indication yun talaga na, wow, that's really precise. And ano yun, it's dictatorial. The situation is worse in the regions. Sa regions, iba, no? Yung leaders, yung supporters of progressive people's organizations, yung mga namumuno sa kanila, actually, hindi na lang namumuno eh, no? Yung makikita nilang actively linked, no? Doon sa kanilang mga gawain are being vilified with their photos, even displayed in public places. They're actively being red tagged, terrorist tagged, intimidated, harassed, arrested, and killed on broad daylight. Ang last na pwede nating tingnan, no? To answer our question na, has the Duterte administration reached the tipping point? No? O meron na ba siyang tipping point? Di una, diniscuss natin na yung kanyang consolidated power is not really absolute. So doon pa lang, meron ng mga pressure points which we can actually push. No? Then pangalawa, diniscuss natin na yung kanyang attacks on critical opposition is actually magbabaklash sa kanya yun eh. Sabi naman natin nung huling bird talk, anything na nag-trigger ng political turbulence, including attack on civil society itself, no? The last point probably we can talk about is yung how Duterte sold sovereignty, no? Yung kanyang sellout of sovereignty may be overrated, but likewise unprecedented. It is overrated because the Duterte government remains beholden to U.S. military and economic aid to continue implementing U.S.-dictated neoliberal economic policies and be subservient as well to U.S.-dictated or U.S. Expansive military strategy in the region. So, kumbaga, sovereignty has always been illusory, no? Under U.S. neocolonialism. And Duterte did nothing to change that. In fact, through Marawi, for example, or even the most sophisticated the more sophisticated kapanatagan o plan kapanatagan, Duterte has enabled the resurgence of U.S. military and security interventions in the country or in the Philippine military and the continued implementation of U.S.'s OPLAN Pacific Eagle. So, medyo overrated sabihin, ay, binenta niya yung ating soberanya. Well, actually, he took over, nabenta na yon. Remember, mga medyo isang century na rin. Pero, wala siyang binago doon. In fact, inireinforce niya yung U.S. control of economy, military, and politics. On the other hand, it is unprecedented in how Duterte fails to assert Philippine sovereignty over its territorial waters, a case that had already been decided by the UN Convention on the Laws of the Sea in favor of the Philippines. The implementation of such decision, Duterte now simply and casually dismisses. Duterte has been silent on and complicit in China's encroachment and abuses in the West Philippine Sea. So ang tanong ngayon, anong nangyari? Ikaw lang ang bansa na nagreklamo. Di ba? Ikaw lang ang nag-claim ng teritory mo. Among the Southeast Asian nations na nandun din around that contested waters, nanalo ka na. Tapos ngayon, parang yung papel na yun, no? Parang in SHIT mo lang yung papel, di ba? May mga pronouncements, but it's just a piece of paper. And you're not implementing it. So the question now is, has he been generously bribed by China to allow Chinese vessels to fish and do other economic activities in Philippine seas? Duterte himself has publicly admitted that he and China Prime Minister Xi Jinping had a verbal agreement to allow China to fish. So, there is no other plausible explanation other than bribery, therefore, as Duterte cannot show proof that the country has equal gains from such verbal agreement other than friendship. So China, meanwhile, exploits this friendship to steal Philippines from the U.S. embrace, tapos isustain niya yung sarili niyang imperialistang tahakin or sarili niyang imperialistang objectives, no, o layunin. No? China does this through economic aggression, specifically through its infrastructure and trade-driven Belt and Road Initiative, at saka yung syempre yung mga diplomatic offensives niya at saka yung mga mala military offensives niya. China is not particularly interested in the Philippines being full-blown part of the Belt and Road Initiative. Kebs niya. It just so happens that the BRI will have to pass through the contested waters where the Philippines lies right there in the center. On the other hand, the Duterte government is also not particularly keen on being part of the BRI. Its seeming shift to China, na parang, uy, nag-shift na siya sa China, is not even absolute. Hindi rin yan strategic. The Duterte government is keen on China providing financing for its infrastructure stimulus to arrest the declining economic growth. But more importantly for the Duterte clique, eto lang ha, the most traveled to China. Ang laki-laki nung 200. Ilan sila kung bumiyahe? Naka-apat o limang beses na sila. Most traveled na siya sa lahat ng naging presidente. Ang importante sa kanila is to gain kickbacks, business favors, and other possible illicit capital flows. So actually, doon napupunta. So if you look at China ODA, it's small. Because that's not where the Chinese capital goes. Not, well, at least not most of it. What is captured doon sa kanilang bilateral agreements would be the bureaucrat capital and other business favors. So,
magbabalik ang DZUP Special Features makalipas ang ilang paalala. Huwag ninyong kalilimutang ilike ang aming Facebook pages at DZUP Specials at DZUP 1602 AM. Maririn kayong magpadala ng sulatroniko sa dzup.marketing@gmail.com. I-textin nyo kami sa 0927-220-8332 o di kaya itawagin sa 503-8288. Ang DZUP ay kasapi ng KBP, Kapisanan ng mga Broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Halika na makinig sa DZUP 1602.
Nais niyo bang dalhin ang kalikasan sa syudad?
Bakit hindi natin subukan?
Inihahatid ng DZUP 1602 ang isang programang magpapalapit sa inyo sa kalikasan.
Nature Venture!
Isang oras ng paghatid sa inyo ng mga kwento at kaalaman tungkol sa kalikasan.
Makinig na para sa environment-friendly at nature-loving na pamumuhay.
Nature Venture!
Tuwing Lunes, alauna hanggang alas dos ng hapon, dito lang sa DZUP 1602.
Kasali ka!
Anak, gumamit ka ng baso kapag nagsisipilyo, ha? Sayang ang tubig!
Ang dami-dami kayang tubig!
Anak, huwag mong kakalimutang hugutin ng saksakan.
Ma, hindi masusunog ang bahay. Huwag OA. Ma? Ma? Nasusunog ang bahay! Tulong!
Huwag antaying mapahamak ang buhay bago matutong magtipid sa pagkonsumo ng enerhiya at tubig. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
Anim, pito, walo, siyam, sampu! Mami, Daddy, nakaipon na ako ng 10 piso! Yay!
Kung bata pa tayo, tinuruan na tayong mag-ipon. Sana hindi mawala ang kaugaliang yon. Matutong muling mag-ipon. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Ang sakuna, kaya nito.
Yanigin.
Ang kalikasan.
Sirain.
Ang mga kabuhay.
Sunugin.
Ang mga tahanan.
Punin.
Ang mga insenteng buhay. Ngunit hindi nito kaya.
Yanigin. Sirain. Sunugin.
At
kunin.
Ang ating pagmamalasakit sa kapwa. Magboluntaryo sa pagtulong sa mga biktima ng kalamidad. Ikaw, magpapatalo ka ba sa sakuna? Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Hindi ka ba napapagod o di kaya'y nagsasawa?
Sa ating mga tampuhang walang hanggang katapusan, napahid ng mga luha, damdamin at puso'y tigang.
Alam mo pala yung kantang yan?
Siyempre naman, Ma.
Naku, panahon pa namin yan eh. Gusto mo, pakita ko mga tape niyan?
Ayos, mag-soundtrip tayo, Ma.
Oh, sige.
Eto na! Eto na! Eto na!
Walang kupas ang ganda ng musikang Pinoy. Patuloy natin tangkilikin ang sariling atin. Suportahan natin ang musikang Pinoy. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Yan ang madalas nilang sabihin. Pero paano ba yun gagawin?
Magtanim ka ng mga puno hanggang matapunan lahat ng mga bundok.
Mag-imbento ka ng renewable fuel. Ipatigil mo ang mining at logging sa buong mundo.
Hindi kailangang bongga. Start small. Unplug. Tanggalin sa saksakan ang mga gadgets o appliances na hindi ginagamit. Ang matipid na paggamit ng kuryente ay pagtulong sa kalikasan.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Anong pagkakatulad ni na Albert Einstein, Walt Disney, Vincent Van Gogh at Michael Phelps? Lahat sila ay may Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder o ADHD.
Ang ADHD ay isang kondisyon na may sintomas ng kahinaan sa konsentrasyon, pagiging sobrang aktibo, at pagkilos ng padalos-dalos. Tulungan ang batang may ADHD na abutin ang kanyang potensyal. Kumonsulta sa doktor para sa tamang diagnosis at pangangalaga.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
Ako si Pollution. Sikat ako sa syudad. Tulad ng mga kotse na bumubuo ng 30% ng aking mga alagad. Basura! Basura! Puso! 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 Ingay! Ingay!
Huwag maging alagad ng polusyon. Tangkilikin ang pampublikong transportasyon. Nakatipid ka na, bawas polusyon pa.
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Guys, lasing na tayo. Kaya niyo pa magmaneho?
Oo, kaya ko pa. Real man to.
Kaya pa yan. May inuman pa daw.
Uy, teka. Naka-red light na yata, oh.
Anong red light, lion!
Pre! Pre, red light nga! May tumatawid! May tumatawid! Ah!
Talagang malakas ang tama kapag nakainom. Ngunit huwag hintayin iba naman ang tamaan mo. Kung nakainom, huwag nang magmaneho dahil hindi masaya kung madidisgrasya ka at ang iba. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
DZUP Special Features.
Nagbabalik po ang DZUP Special Features. Ipagpatuloy natin ang pakikinig sa 2019 Mid-Year Bird Talk na inorganisa ng Ibon Foundation.
Actually, natanong din kami kayo na umaga about that rice fund eh. Namo crazy talaga siya. Para ano siya eh. It's a decoration of a really bad policy. Kasi the time to support is hindi pag nasa laban na. Magpalakas ka muna, tapos sabak sa laban. Yung ginawa dun sa fund na yan, binukas yung niliberalize yung rice imports tapos binigyan ka ng support. That's too late. And it's actually mangyari dyan is what's happening now. Farmers will choose not to farm anymore kasi hindi nila kaya eh. So parang kung sa boxing, the time to train is not pag kalabo mo na si Manny Pacquiao. Mag-train ka na ilang taon before, then you fight Manny Pacquiao. And I think may pattern actually ng government of doing this eh. They earmark funds or they say na there's some support happening but actually, pinatanggal nila. And I think the rice clarification bill is a very good example of how pinapatay yung Philippine agriculture kasi Philippine agriculture has been declining over the past 3 decades. The time to support Philippine agriculture is actually then. We should support it now, but yung pag-open up should come after strengthening to begin with. So I think, nga, they try to shock us with, you know, 10 billion peso rice fund, but hindi eh, tapos na.
Going into one of the points that Sunny made earlier was that to address yung slowing growth is yung infrastructure spending. So may mga ilan magandang points na note doon that it's not enough to promote BBB to ensure that these projects are happening. But just to deepen further the discussion regarding that, what is the status now of BBB under the Duterte administration? Like, what kind of projects? Because we say that infrastructure is good in terms of if it's helping to further develop yung agriculture, industry. But what are the projects right now? And like, are they going towards that? And you mentioned that the majority of them were concentrated in Davao. Then in the previous bird talks, it was like in NCR. So what is the status also of that right now?
I think when characterizing infrastructure projects, ang sobrang important mag-grasp is what kind of infrastructure. The biggest part of infrastructure projects are, halimbawa sa flagship programs, they're transport projects. There's a public investor program as a whole, which is the universe of mga infrastructure projects, about 60% are 50% are transport related. So it's very transport heavy. And I think it's so important to grasp that point kasi the question is raised, when has mobility in itself ever developed an economy? Hindi eh. So for us, tingnan namin yun ng, when we ask about the status of infra, let's step back muna. One, ano bang infra yan? It's transport, it's about improving mobility. Will it improve our productive capacity? It won't eh. Will there be productivity gains? Well, yeah, kinda. Siguro yung mas makakatipid yung transport, yung mga trucking. But will those productivity gains be commensurate to the hundreds of billions of pesos you spent to make it economically worth it? Doon kami nagdududa. So sa characterization, may problema with that whole thinking na mobility will improve things. What's the status now? Well, the infrastructure program as well ng government, gumugulong siya. If you look at yung na-flash kanina na ano, na table doon, nag-over 800 billion pesos na in infrastructure spending for 2018. So in that sense, that almost doubling of infrastructure spending in the last 2 to 3 years shows na it is underway. What's becoming controversial is not actually the infrastructure spending as a whole, a lot of it is invisible, ay yung mga high profile from the 75 flagship infrastructure projects. Doon, may kabagalan. Bakit may kabagalan? Well, again, it goes back to our point, if there's no strong domestic economy, no strong industrial capacity, limbawa, to provide infrastructure services, things like a 75 flagship infrastructure projects, some are kind of high-tech, like the subway, hindi natin na-implement. We'll need to import foreign firms to make up for the lack of domestic capacity. And I think that's where the flagship programs are falling right now. May lack of capacity yung economy to implement those projects. What does it look like? Kulang yung skilled labor force, engineers mo, technical capacity to implement those projects. So nagadrag siya. So even our biggest conglomerates, hindi naman sila high-tech conglomerates to like you see in Japan or Korea or China. Even sila, nasasagad actually yung capacity to implement those infrastructure projects. In the same way, even yung government is also reaching its limits to supervise, to give oversight of implementation projects na yan. So like, I think right now, dalawa lang yatang small projects ang completed, maybe 9 are ongoing. Doon sa 75 na yun, marami ay in-evaluate pa, pinoprocess pa, for procurement pa. Medyo matagal talaga. And I think that goes to the earlier point na na-raise kanina. To really benefit from infrastructure, kailangan may domestic capacity ka doon. Because if you don't, you'll be importing it. If you're importing it, most of the benefit will go to those you're importing from while you're just paying the interest on the loan you took out to implement those projects.
Yung thrust talaga ng infrastructure program, especially build. Alam niyo siguro sa hierarchy ng 1 to 5, no? Na top yung 1. Siguro pang 5 yung as an objective, yung utility ng project. Usefulness niya. At for example, in the 75 flagship projects, 9 out of 10, 91%, diba, ay transportation related. Tapos masyado nilang pinalalaki yung inyong mga angst about the traffic and about not having state-of-the-art transportation facilities. Parang ganon. But when you look at irrigation, for example, how old is the National Irrigation Administration? Tagal na yan, no? Marcos era pa yan. But only 60% of the irrigable lands are actually irrigated. Andali lang ng irrigation. This is, we have a country of how many of abundant water resources. So madali lang siya. The infrastructure is also easy to put in place. In fact, Thailand did it for just ilang years after learning or after studying at the UP Los Baños. Pag uwi nila, ginawa na nila kung ano yung kayang i-improve ng kanilang rice production. But here, magmamakaawa pa yung magsasaka. Nagawan siya ng irrigasyon at kapag ginawan siya, babayaran pa niya. So ibig sabihin, the infrastructure program is not really meant for what you're saying, Audrey, na has it enhanced agricultural production or even manufacturing. It's meant to be, as it is, number one, it's a lucrative business. Yun ang unang dahilan why governments after governments, including the Duterte government, have embarked on infrastructure program. A neo-colonial state will only have the infrastructure program as its centerpiece program. Ganun yun, ano? Kasi una, it's a lucrative business. To illustrate yung pagiging lucrative niya, in 2016, si Manny Villar was number 12 among the Filipino billionaires in the Forbes 500. He jumped to number 1. Diba? And that thanks to build, no? And that's the Villar clan, and of course Mark Villar holds the siya ang secretary ng DPWH and other ano no other positions na napaka-lucrative para pag-increase ng kanilang business. The question is, have we benefited doon sa kanilang mga infrastructure projects? In the sense that, doon sa tanong mo, no? No. Kasi hindi naman yun, yung in the hierarchy of objectives, hindi naman talaga layunin ng build na magkaroon siya ng isang usefulness para sa mamamayan at para sa kanyang development. Yun ang problema.
Earlier, one of the things like for the pre-SONA Economic Forum, aside from the 4 points that was raised earlier through Sunny, another accomplishment that the Duterte administration claimed was regarding regarding its efforts in alleviating poverty. You mentioned how the job situation, there's high real unemployment, low wages. So what is your analysis or what do you think about the poverty situation now in the Philippines?
Again, ito yung mga ano eh, a few data points sa administration to claim, you know, good economic performance. Hopefully, they won't repeat yung untruth na lowest unemployment in 40 years, pero probably will. Pero another thing likely na sasabihin nila, if not si President Duterte mismo, at least yung propaganda team niya, is yung reported reduced poverty incidence nitong first semester of 2018. So actually, maganda rin yung the way the public reacted to that and the media covered it. Kasi I think it's so straightforward. If you set a low poverty line, you won't count a lot of poor people. So any sort of claim by the government that poverty has reduced, hindi yun ang actually nangyari. Ang nangyari, the number of people the government counts as poor has reduced, which is not the same thing as poverty has reduced. Ngayon, I'm sure all of you here right now probably have heard by now that crazy 69 pesos, 50 centavos per person per day, then you're no longer poor. So kung may 70 pesos kayo, literally hindi na kayo counted as poor sa government stats. So para sa amin, it's that straightforward. If that's the only standard for reducing poverty the government has, any poverty statistics they come out with are going to be meaningless. And for us right now, we're actually keenly waiting again the full year results kasi greedy rin yung ibon. When we get the stats, we can use it using different standards. So ginawa natin yan for 2015. So because it's the latest data we have, in 2015, we found out using government data, the Family and Community Expenditure Survey, it turned out that half the population lives, half the families live on about 15, 16,000 pesos per month or less per day. Para sa amin, that's a little bit more reasonable than that 9,000 peso per month poverty line noong 2015. So again, using the exact same data set, siguro 15, 16,000, sabihin natin, hindi pa rin yun okay. Half the population lives there. If you increase the poverty line a bit more to about 18,000, it's going to turn out, two-thirds of Filipino families don't even reach that standard. So para sa amin, when the whole year figures for 2015 come out, we can do the exact same exercise. And I think by that time, I think we will realize anywhere from half to two-thirds of Filipinos do still remain poor by reasonable standards. So para sa amin, it's bordering on ano eh, bordering on deceit to harp on low poverty because of a low poverty line. And I think yun nga, sana maging mas honest. Honesty is good.
Honesty is a good policy.
Magbabalik ang DZUP Special Features makalipas ang ilang paalala. Huwag ninyong kalilimutang ilike ang aming Facebook pages at DZUP Specials at DZUP 1602 AM. Maririn kayong magpadala ng sulatroniko sa dzup.marketing@gmail.com. I-textin nyo kami sa 0927-220-8332 o di kaya itawagin sa 503-8288. Ang DZUP ay kasapi ng KBP, kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Halika na pakinig sa DZUP!
at kilalanin ang kahalagahan ng wika sa ating mga buhay dito sa Ang Wika ng Inamog tuwing Biyernes sa ganap na alas 6 hanggang alas 7 ng gabi dito lang sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Wika ng Inamog, tanda na magkapatid tayo. Wika ng Inamog, mag-uugnay sa Pilipino. Wika ng Inamog, salamin ng pagkatao. Wika ng Inamog, magtatakda kung saan tayo.
Dami-dami kong kailangan gawin. Maraming examen sa school. Marami rin trabaho para sa mga organizations ko. Halos tatlong araw na rin akong walang tulog. Hindi ko alam kung may oras pa akong kumain o uminom man lang ng tubig. Pagod na ako. Di ko na alam kung paano pa ako tutuloy.
Ang sariling kalusugan ay ang puhunan para sa kinabukasan. Huwag kalimutang kumain, uminom ng tubig, at matulog ng sapat sa isang araw. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
You are so annoying. You have no friends. Nobody likes you. You're so ugly. You're stupid. Yuck. You are gross and fat.
Where do you even
I
get
hope
the
you
confidence?
Die, you're nothing special.
Do everyone a favor
and shut up.
Hateful words will hurt, even if said behind anonymity. Being anonymous doesn't give you the right to cyberbully. Haters, stop the hate.
A public service reminder from DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Facebook has more than 800 million active users worldwide. There's 500 million likes every day. 340 million tweets are sent each and every day. Instagram has an average of 575 likes and 81 comments every second. Social media made the world smaller. Now it's our turn to make the world better. Let's use the social media responsibly. Think before you click. A reminder from DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Countdown to D-Day. T-minus 8 hours and 20 minutes.
Walong oras na lang! 10 chapters pa kailangan kong i-review!
So, nang aking buhay!
Pahingi naman ng konting peace and quiet! Pwede!
Okay lang maging expressive, pero kaibigan, isipin din ang kapakanan ng iba. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Ito ay pag-ibig.
Ma, I love you po!
Mahal na mahal din kita, anak.
Ito ay pag-ibig.
Panatang makabayan, iniibig ko ang Pilipinas, aking lupang sinilangan.
Ito ay pag-ibig.
Pare, mahal kita.
Pantay-pantay ang lahat sa pag-ibig. LGBTQ, babae o lalaki, lahat ay may karapatang mamuhay at magmahal. Don't discriminate. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602.
Ay naku, tama yan. I-push mo yan. Push lang ng push.
Go, go, go! Final push!
Ray!
Use you.
Maganda yung pang-motivate sa paggawa, pero hindi sa pila. Imbis na ulo ang painitin, pasensya at pangunawa ang pairalin. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Naalala mo ba ba nung bata ka?
Nanay, gusto ko po ng laruan.
Tay, basketball tayo.
Ma, kailangan ko po ng costume para sa school play.
Pa, patulong naman po sa homework.
Eh, ngayong matanda ka na.
Anak, patulong naman sa pag-akyat sa hagdan.
Anak, pakiabot naman yung salamin ko.
Anak, uwi ka naman.
Anak.
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 Sana ngayong silang nangangailangan, ikaw naman ang maging kaagapay nila. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka.
When I grow up, I want to be an engineer in Saudi!
When I grow up, I want to be a nurse in America!
Paglaki ko, gusto ko maging guro dito sa Pilipinas!
Paano mo masasabing malayo ang isang pangarap kumpara naman ito sa ibang bayan?
Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka.
Bahay kubo, kahit munti, ang pagkain doon ay sari-sari. Burger, french fries, donut at candy, at saka meron pa ice cream with cherry.
Puro fast food na lang ba ang alam ng mga bata ngayon? Ibalik ang gulay at masustansyang pagkain sa hapagkainan. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Tol, napanood mo na yung video?
Oo pre, ang hot!
Hindi tol, yung video ng korupsyon sa bansa natin.
Uy friend, alam mo bang break na sila?
Oo naman, third party ba ang dahilan ng breakup nila?
Hindi! Break na ng sesyon ng Kongreso. Kaya naman pag-uusapan na lang yung nakabinbin na batas sa susunod na sesyon.
Ha?
Alamin ang mga mahalagang isyu ng ating lipunan. Dahil bilang mga mamamayan, responsibilidad nating makialam. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602. Kasali ka!
Tag-ulan na naman! Paano ba maging handa para sa mga dadating na bagyo at ulan?
Maghanda ng sapat na pagkain na di kailangang lutuin at malinis na tubig.
Magtago ng mga flashlight, kandila at mga radyong debaterya sa bahay.
Ayusin ang mga mahihinang bahagi ng bahay upang hindi masira agad pagdating ng bagyo.
Ihanda ang sarili sa mga parating na bagyo at ulan. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
Isang order po ng double bun quarter pound burger, large fries, pakiramihan na lang po ng ketchup, porcada size spaghetti platter with extra hot dog at ham. Tapos paki-upsize na lang po yung soda sa less ice. And for dessert, tatlong scoop ng vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup. Tapos...
Hep, hep, hep! Kaya mo bang ubusin yan? Ayon sa UN Food and Agricultural Organization, mahigit 1 bilyong toneladang pagkain ang nasasayang taon-taon. Huwag ugaliin ang pag-aksaya. Isang paalala mula sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!
DZUP Special Features.
Nagbabalik po ang DZUP Special Features. Ipagpatuloy natin ang pakikinig sa 2019 Mid-Year Bird Talk na inorganisa ng Ibon Foundation.
So, ang haba ng kwento ko dyan, but ito yung point doon. May nakausap kami ng mga NGOs na nabahala doon because they saw it rightly sa natakon civil society. Noong nakipag-dialogue sila sa SEC, categorically, sabi ng SEC, huwag kayong mag-alala, hindi para sa inyo yan. Para sa mga blabla yan. So parang, yeah, para kay Rosby yun, parang ganun yun. And I think, yun, kaya I think malaga ma-stress yung point na yun kasi let's not caricature the Duterte administration. It is actually quite smart. So yung response natin should be actually equally smart doon. It's not just about opposing authoritarianism because inaatake ka. It's about opposing authoritarianism because you don't want authoritarianism. So halimbawa yung nagbulong sa akin na NGO na yon, actually nasa Malaysia eh. So for her, hindi na issue yon. Parang, ito lang ba yon? Hindi. You don't oppose it only because hindi ikaw ang ina-attack. You oppose it as a matter of principle. So I think that should create the momentum for opposing yung undemox in Duterte. Oppose natin siya hindi lang dahil ina-attack tayo. Oppose natin kasi mali ang ginagawa niya.
Checking time, but to go further into the political situation, just to raise in like regarding the West Philippine Sea, okay, with the West Philippine Sea situation, right? And the mention tungkol sa U.S. imperialism, neocolonialism. Pero between China and U.S., like sa inyo, sa patingin ninyo, like who should we be more concerned with right now? Is there like a you know, who is the bigger influence, bigger threat at this time, or on the same level sila?
Napipili mo ako.
Yes. Who's the ano?
Apple or Huawei?
Chaka or
Chaka or Chika?
It's a multipolar world, no? Ibig sabihin, if you look at the global economy and yung buong geopolitics niya or buong imperialismo, makikita mo na talagang yung crisis is expressed in the sense na nagiging multipolar siya. So it's not just, sasabihin natin, US and the rest of ginagawa ng China to get what it wants is because it's under US imperialism. We have to identify as well that China wants to be imperialist. Or if imperialist na siya, so nasa ano siya, kumbaga, upstart, parang ganyan, no, na imperialista. So yung recognition na yon, it's sa atin, no, na kumbaga for the longest time, kumbaga inaral na natin yung imperialism as US being one of the evils of our backwardness, of our society, etc., etc. Yung kumbaga yung dynamism ng ganung analysis has to recognize yung role ng China doon sa analysis na yon. The thing is, on a more tactical level, si Duterte, nilaro niya yon. Nilaro niya yung multipolarity na yon. Kumbaga parang sa salita lang, sasabihin niya na tapusin ko na itong US subservience, but in fact, tumaas, no, yung military aid, yung in terms of money and the aid that's coming in terms of policies that have been implemented na gusto ng US, ay ginawa niya lahat. At gagawin pa niya, no, so pag nag-charter change at na-liberalize niya all the aspects of the Philippine economy to foreign investments, that's what the US wants. Tapos, recently, pinoint out din ni Sunny, nakita niyo na ba ang bagong American ambassador? Hindi pa. Baka madalay lama, sexist remark ako. She's a beautiful woman, and the US probably premeditated kung ano lang ang weakness ng presidency na ito. Di ba? Tingnan nyo, yung incoming, na ano na ba siya? Incoming American ambassador to the Philippines. So, ibig sabihin, wala siyang ginawa talaga para umalis dun sa US cloud. So, should we be concerned about that? Oo, kasi lahat ng nararanasan natin ngayon na pahirap na mga patakaran, it's still because ito yung US-dominated institution dictated na mga patakaran of neoliberalism. On the other hand, si China, aggressive talaga. Aggressive siya. Kung kami nagtatawanan nyo yung mga made in China, China's ambition is by 2050, everything will be made for China. So, ganun siya ka-ambition. Nilaro din niya ni Duterte. Ngayon, sabi nga natin kanina, hindi niya yan nilaro bilang love na niya yung China. Nilaro niya yan para sa mga sarili niya. Ambitions or interest, and at the same time, kailangan kasi yung easy financing kasi ang China eh. Hindi parang Japan, ang hirap pumila dun sa kanyang pautangan, at hindi rin parang US, napaka-specific, no? Kung ano yung gusto ng US, kakabit ng kanyang aid. Si China, sige kung anong gusto mo, verbal agreement nga eh, diba? So, bigay lang ng bigay. And beneficial yung Duterte administration or the Duterte camp or clique, which is a small circle residing in Davao, beneficial sa kanila yung ganong klaseng paglalaro with the China intervention. So should we be concerned about that? Oo, kasi sovereignty yung sinasalang niya eh. It's our territorial waters. Nagwinawasiwas-iwas lang niya. And then when you say, you're violating the Constitution, sabi niya, Constitution, anong papel yan? It's the paper na dun ka nag-sworn in, remember? So I think that's also a concerning issue. And to be tactical about it, that's a tipping point actually for his ouster.
Oh, may ibang attack ako dun sa approach from more simplistic na approach. We tend to, yung mga familiar things we take for granted. So yung mga mag-asawa nandiyan na matagal, don't take your spouse for granted. yung US actually, we're taking it for granted eh. Kaya ang in our mental mind, talaga na-agitate tayo sa China kasi bago siya eh. Because na-take for granted na natin yung long-standing domination influence ng US. Ngayon, think ko may, the way I think about these things, a more practical perspective, una, establish some facts. Yung nabanggit ni Rosby, key fact yon. May multipolarity na. May banggaan talaga between US and China and the Philippines is a battleground for influence talaga. But having said that, three important facts. Even sa multipolarity na yan, nakakalamang pa rin yung US. The US is still militarily, economically, politically, diplomatically, malayo pa talaga. Na-threaten siya kasi umaangat yung China, pero on top pa siya. Second key point, even in the Philippines, nakaangat pa rin yung US. Yes, marami na irita dun sa Chinese workers sa mga POGO, tumataas ang real estate, may mga restaurant sila makapasukan, etc., etc. Yeah, I can grant all that. But overall, whether we're talking about the Philippine economy in terms of foreign capital, mas marami pa rin US capital dito. If you're talking about political influence ng US sa Pilipinas, it's the US that the AFP will listen to, where they get their doctrines from, their guns from, their money from, their training from, overpowering ang influence ng US over our security establishment, our security forces. Third, sa totoo lang, in our minds dito, US pa rin ang dominant. Diba? We watch more Avengers, Marvel movies, Disney movies, than we watch these mga Chinese movies. Mas malapit sa puso sa atin ang US. So, broad spectrum, key fact yun, US ang still dominant sa atin. In having said that, paano natin laluriin yan? Ang tingin namin, nadinig ko ito kay Teddy Boy Locsin last week eh. Parang, ang drama niya, Duterte, the Duterte administration, is navigating this multipolarity. Na is playing off China against each other to get benefits. Grabe, that's so not true. If the Duterte administration thinks it's playing China off against each other, hindi lang nang gets, the Duterte administration is being played by China and it's being played by the US. It's the other way around. So parang, ano yung, sorry, ito yung pinaka-point ko. Ano yung practical point doon? If you want to navigate this multipolarity, itong banggaan ng mga higante, the most important thing is we get our own bearings. If we don't get our own bearings, we don't establish, assert our independence, our sovereignty based on a clear idea where our national sovereignty lies, whether in the West Philippine Sea, or in the economy, or in movies, or in anything. If we don't get our bearings based on our own strong sense of national sovereignty, malilis talaga tayo at matatangay tayo one way or the other, which is what's happening now. That is why it is so easy for China to make inroads. It's because wala yung bearings na yon ng Philippine government. That's also why it's so easy now for the US to reassert its influence because we never actually asserted versus the US. So yung nabanggit ni Rosby about yung increasing military aid, actually yun lang surface look, surface appearance ng the US asserting its control over the armed forces of the Philippines. Even Duterte, di ba, kaya ang bilis na mag-react, wala mang kuku dyan. Well, not necessarily. May ano yan, may hindi absolute nga yung command ni Duterte over anything in Philippine society. And I think that's a useful way to characterize administration. Yes, it is the most autocratic, authoritarian administration since Marcos, but hindi pa absolute yung command at yung power niya. And right now, among the strongest influences in the security establishment's mind, even among big businesses' mind, even among the general public's mind, it's still actually the United States. So I think i-balance din natin, you know, kung ano man yung impulse to react to this new rising China, it's rising from below. US pa rin talaga yung dominant. Not to say ignore China, but nga, the suggestion is find our bearings, deal with the big boy, deal with the little brother, both from our own sense of national interest.
Napahinggan po natin ang 2019 Mid-Year Bird Talk na inorganisa ng Ibon Foundation. Huwag ninyong kalilimutang ilike ang aming Facebook pages at DZUP Specials at DZUP 1602 AM. Maririn kayo magpadala ng sulatroniko sa dzup.marketing@gmail.com. Tumungo lamang sa dzup.org/programs para sa mga lumipas na naming episodes. Abangan ninyo ang pinakahuling balita sa DZUP Balita mamayang alas 11 ng umaga. Maari rin ninyong sundan ang Facebook, Twitter at Instagram accounts ng DZUP Balita na @DZUPBalita. Para sa iba pang mga balita, tumungo lamang sa dzup.org/news. Sa ngalan ng aming station manager na si Professor Jane Vinculado at ng DZUP admin, DZUP News kasama sina Shane David, Joanna Reyes, Neil Manuel at Terence Tolentino, DZUP Online, DZUP Prod, DZUP Special Services kasama si Christelle Vergara at DZUP Tech. Ako po si Gian Librojo. Maraming salamat at magandang umaga, mga kasali. Ang DZUP ay kasapi ng KBP, kapisanan ng mga broadcaster ng Pilipinas. Sa DZUP 1602, kasali ka!